Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 77, Episode 1 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist! Podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries. It's Monday, April 8th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. O'Brien don't want no scrubs. Trump is a guy who can't get no love from me. Hanging from the Zeit Gang ride with his best friend Miles. Hot taste coming at me. Courtesy of Maggie Kirk. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Fuck you, you can't even sing. Get my ODB voice ready for you.
Old Daily Zeitgeist is on. 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 Yo, shimmy shimmy y'all, this your man Miles Gray. Give me the mic so I can take it away. Off on a cold brew charge, par voyage. Yeah, from a home of the Dodgers, Zeit Gang Squad.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
God.
Love that song, man.
Golly, what a track. Shout out to at Just TDZAKs for that one. But also, I didn't forget everybody else who's been hitting me with shimmy ya AKs over the years. Shout out also to at Terra Non Firma for you did one too. And also at Dobby Wan G. You are all seen and heard. But I mean, that one took the cake.
Yeah. It's the one of two songs I know how to play on the piano.
Well, it is.
I found that key. I was just hitting that shit over and over again.
Half step down from there. Uh-huh. So yeah, not too bad.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented comedian, writer, actor, and co-host of the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, Zara Norbakhsh.
Hello.
Up.
How are you?
Welcome. Hey. Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here.
Yes?
We're so excited to have you.
Yeah.
This is my first recording after surgery.
Damn. Your surgery, yes.
Yeah.
I noticed, yes, you showed us you have a bit of a little scar.
They slit my throat, man.
Who's they? The hope of medical professional and not a street gang?
What if it was a street gang that happened to be a thyroid surgeon?
Yeah. Oh, so are we having a thyroid issue?
Yeah. So I had a rogue nodule in my thyroid.
Damn.
That was like giving me like what I thought was like depression and anxiety, but it was really just like jitters from like a hyperthyroid and fatigue from a hypothyroid, just up and down.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be my thyroid the whole time.
Wow.
Which was like kind of nice to find out, and then really scary, because then they were like, actually, it could be a really aggressive strain of cancer.
Fuck.
Right.
And then I was like, whoa. But I had a year of TED Talks helping me, supporting me through the period of time where I thought I had depression and didn't know what was up.
Did you just stand in the Superman pose the whole time?
I star posed, and I just held that space of uncertainty until they told me precancerous nodule, no further surgery necessary.
Hell yeah.
Hey, drop the ball on that one. Yeah, fuck out of here, kids.
Okay, you want to hear the best part, though?
Yes.
If I do have to get treatment ever in my life,
yes,
you have to take radioactive iodine, which means that I would be a nuclear Iranian.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Hear that bomb sound effect again time. For me one more time.
Wow. Hold that one, WMD. Mike Pompeo.
Maybe the most earned bomb sound.
Woman of mass destruction.
Sanctioned plutonium pills.
There you go. Yellow cake for your birthday.
Yes.
All right, Zara, we're going to get to know you even better in a moment. But first, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. Friday, it was 25 years since Kurt Cobain died, and that made me feel old as fuck.
25 years?
25
Damn,
years.
Damn, 25? What?
So we're just going to talk about that for like a minute. Then we're going to talk about Game of Thrones and how just like they are treating this like it's Space Jam. Like there is so many endorsement deals and endorsement products.
Yeah.
And we're going to just kind of compare that to...
Other things
that haven't done that?
I think I haven't heard a Space Jam reference in the same amount of time I haven't heard about Kurt Cobain. I think
Right on.
That's what you come here for.
Exactly. We're going to talk about Trump's tax returns and whether we're ever going to see them. Joseph Biden's...
what did he do?
Apology.
Oh, my God.
For you being creeped out. He was sorry if you were creeped out.
I'm sorry you were weirded out, but I'm not sorry for anything because I know by heart what ever. I intended.
He's never been sorry.
So I'm not
specifically
wrong.
Put that out there. Yeah. We're going to talk about Herman Cain, who will be running the Fed.
Maybe.
What
hopefully
the
not.
Fuck? What the stock market thinks about the next election. Aunt Becky, Beyonce. We're going to touch them all. But first, Zara, we like to ask, just all the subjects, all the...
No Biden.
Zara, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, crap. Okay, I just looked up DuckTales.
That one?
Yeah.
Man, what were you thinking about it? Might solve a mystery or rewrite history?
I've been working on my comedy special. It's debuting June 21st.
Oh, okay. Shit, okay.
It's called On Behalf of All Muslims, a comedy special.
Okay.
I feel like we need one.
Yeah.
And
you don't say.
One of my hero is Scrooge McDuck. When I was a kid, I just wanted to be him. And I like had my mom like sew me costumes.
Not for real?
Yeah, not for Halloween, just cause.
Oh shit. Oh, like you were cosplaying through life as Scrooge McDuck almost?
I mean, okay, listen, he was an immigrant. He had an accent.
Right.
He did have an accent.
He was a billionaire.
He was Scottish, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He was selfish. Right. And he just used his money to go on adventures, and I was like, "Yes, this is my man."
Right,
right.
But then for the show, I had to do all this like research because it's been a while.
How he actually made that money?
Right. Yes.
And it's very dark.
It is. There are some early Scrooge McDuck comics where he is in Africa, doing some like real imperialist, crazy, fucked up stuff.
Yeah, it was a deep hole.
Yeah. Like Rhodesia type shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's bad, man.
Hey, he came around, man.
But I mean, what billionaire doesn't have many dark skeletons?
Damn, that makes
closet.
Sense. That's why you say might solve a mystery, or just hey, rewrite.
Rewrite.
I got right. all this money on the up and up, man. No slavery, no conflict diamonds, no nothing like that.
Right.
Wait, who made early Scrooge McDuck origin cartoons?
Like they've, that was they've part been of around the for Disneyverse. Yeah. Yeah. They've been
I didn't
making
know
those.
That.
Yeah, and actually early Scrooge McDuck comics are incredibly influential. Like they were some of the first like Donald Duck comics and Scrooge McDuck, that universe was like they think that the design of those characters influenced manga and like a lot of that shit. Like, and there's also like the shot from Raiders where he's running away from the boulder.
Yeah, yeah.
That first appeared in an early Scrooge McDuck comic.
No way.
Like, they were inventing shit out here.
Okay, shout out to Scrooge.
Why do you know this?
I used to run a website where that's all we did was dig into.
That's right. I forgot about that.
History.
I'm going to hit you up.
All right.
Wait, I'm sorry. With the like the subplot or you know Africa exploitation shit, was that like meant to be a commentary or just more like accepted because of the time? And they're like, and that's that guy. He's rich and you know he's just pillaging.
I think it was
Africa
like a wacky adventure to Africa.
Oh, gotcha.
Storyline.
Okay,
yeah, like they
not that
to
we're
do...
saying he's like the De Beers Diamond Company or something
right,
like that.
Right. But I don't know. It was. I believe, if my memory serves, it was a bit problematic.
Okay. Well, hit us with some deep cut DuckTales shit.
Scrooge McDuck. All right.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is really unpopular.
Okay.
God.
I've never told this to anybody.
Uh-oh.
This is the space to do that in.
I don't know, you guys. I don't know.
Okay. That's fine. We'll find out. Well, I think we're both about to find out who each other are.
Queer Eye.
Oh, the new Queer Eye?
See what happened?
Well,
what?
I mean, I haven't watched the new season.
What?
No, sorry. Jonathan Van Ness is a god.
You said save space. You said save space.
Yeah. No, to be honest, I'm like, okay. I mean, it's, you know, like any show. I don't really, especially TV, like, I don't give a fuck if people, I'm not as militant about TV.
I'm star posing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. And I feel your power and I back down.
What do you think about it is overrated?
Okay, it's liberal porn.
Oh, gotcha. You mean in that sense?
Like the first episode of the third season, right? Like they're going into like quote unquote backcountry where they're like, you know, the mindset's supposed to be conservative and like they love guns and blah, blah, blah. And then they like change her mind and everything. And it just felt like, oh, okay, if I was like a moderate liberal, then I would be like, see, if we do, I'll just meet each other and we change each other's clothes and we change each other's hair.
It's like progressive wish fulfillment fantasy.
Exactly.
Show.
And I just was like, I don't know, you guys.
Yeah. Well, I think for you being an activist too, you see a lot more nuance than simply having these like.
You know what? You know where it comes from?
Huh?
It's from being a feminist, Muslim, Iranian, American, bisexual comedian dealing with liberal audiences that whenever I'm on stage, they expect that I'm going to articulate for them all of my difference.
Right.
Transform our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then we'll all walk away, you know, empirically better humans. Right.
That's why I came.
Exactly.
Change my mind.
Exactly. Right. And I'm like, I would also like to talk about dicks and farts and burps and shits and tits and clits.
Rank those all right now.
Number one.
And
clit.
Thereafter, Number you one feel clits, like they're after farts. The clapter, the like, yeah, you say it, sister. Tell us about Trump.
Right.
Shit like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, right. Where the audience congratulates themselves for laughing at a joke from someone who's different than them and means I'm actually not problematic or have problematic views. I see.
I would like narrative agency.
One thing I will give Jonathan Van Ness, on Instagram, he's been documenting how he's like learning how to figure skate.
Oh,
it's like amazing from someone who looked like I used to play hockey, so I could tell when somebody looks very uncomfortable on skates. That was him, and he's slowly making progress. It's almost like he's just being like, I've always wanted to be a figure skater.
That's amazing.
And he's kind of living his best life.
And you're not saying the people who are on the show are overrated or anything. You're just saying that maybe the overall structure and its role that it serves in people's lives is a little
bit.
Other than that, I love it.
Yeah, I've never watched
they just
the
went
new
to
episodes.
They just went to Capitol Hill and like that's where I get
can't
it,
stop watching
because they were with AOC and I was like, oh, here we go. They're really being like, if you're on the left, we're all in, baby.
Yeah,
but Jonathan Van Ness is working heels in the halls of the Capitol building.
Just got to talk to them once they'll see the errors of their ways.
Yeah. Okay, do we have another question for me? Because I got one for you guys, too.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
I'm going to say motivational videos.
Mm-hmm. Underrated. Right. Oh, especially after talking about what you've been through.
Yeah. I watch these motivational videos by, like, Ray Lewis and Eric Thomas and Les Brown.
Damn, Ray Lewis, huh?
Yeah. Hey, they're kind of amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ray
the
Lewis
power
has some
of
intensity.
Positive thinking can get you out of a murder charge.
They've gotten me through.
Yeah, Ray Lewis.
No, it's underrated. excited.
Yeah. Yo, man. I mean, that is
it's the power. It's got me through some shit.
M.O.B., mind over body.
Okay, it's this, like, montage that opens with, like, the Game of Thrones soundtrack.
Oh, shit.
And just athletic failure. Just, like, shot for shot of athletic, like, NBA All-Stars sobbing.
Right.
People, like, marathon runners crying and collapsing.
Yeah.
And then Eric Thomas is like, when the messenger of misery comes for you, what will you say to keep you in the game?
Damn.
And I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's make some coffee. Open my inbox. I'm ready.
Come on, Ray Lewis. Let's throw that suit away. Isn't that what he did?
Yeah.
Like, to had a suddenly, blood all over or something?
He went into a limousine with a suit that had all sorts of murder evidence all over it. And then and it that vanished. Suit vanished.
Damn.
Hey, he makes.
What's that video called that you're talking about?
Are you ready for this title?
That's his power, though. I mean, that's why people are like, Ray Lewis is intense as shit.
Are you ready for this title?
Yes.
Asterisk.
Okay.
Best
good start.
Motivational video of all time.
Yo.
Asterisk.
God bless you, YouTube. God bless YouTube.
We're going to have to definitely put that in the footnotes. Best motivational video of all time.
And what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That if we just can learn about each other, then we'll find out we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And everything will be better.
Yeah.
It's not
that
it's
easy.
It's also so far from accurate.
Right.
So far from accurate. Like, the more, like, the whole point of the states of the United States is that we were like, we have irreconcilable differences, and then here's, like, a contract to keep us all together.
Right.
Right.
And that's cohabitation.
So do you see that sort of, you know, phrase or whatever idea is addressing a problem that isn't solvable in that sense? Or how would you rejigger that message?
I don't like you. Mm-hmm. You don't like me. And we live next door.
Right.
Right.
So stay out of each other's way.
Right. It's like, we ain't got to hug, but you don't got to throw, you know, firebombs at each other either.
We don't even got to hug.
Yeah. You know I'm saying? We don't
there.
Have to.
Exactly.
Just respect each other's space. I'm
exactly.
like, you do you. How about this? Do you.
Exactly.
And I'll do me.
And I'll, yeah.
And I'm not going to worry about you. You don't have to worry about me.
But you know what we have in common? A love of infrastructure and social welfare.
Right. There we go.
Having clean drinking water.
Yeah. It's like, it's like less libertarian. A little bit more like we both understand that there is a need for speed limits.
Right.
Right.
Let's meet each other there.
Right. Mm-hmm. The DMV. Let's give that more funding. Let's raise those salaries.
Right. She's like, I don't know about you, Zara, but I like to wait at the DMV.
Exactly. You know, here's another
contrarian.
Way. Here's another way to not wait around at the DMV. Build another DMV.
Damn.
DMVs for every city. Two,
ooh,
three,
shit.
Four. There are no lines.
Okay. Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
I like this platform.
Post offices, not Amazon. How about that?
Ooh.
See? This is what I'm saying. Sexy.
Mm-hmm. Running on a
very sexy
platform of more post offices, more DMVs.
Post office on every corner.
This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say whenever someone is like, we're just like you, you're just like me, we're all the same. I'm going to be like, cool, infrastructure. Let's bring in some infrastructure. Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, we're just like each other and like in the same basic things. Like we have the same desires for security and, you know, companionship, those kinds of things. But other than that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know what? Actually, I'm having a revelatory moment right now.
Okay, yeah.
After a year of like motivational speeches to get me through what was just a thyroid disaster.
Right.
I'm realizing that it is less about willpower and more about the structures that keep it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
We got to get you on like a speaking tour now.
I'm ready.
Damn, yeah. Put your black turtleneck on.
Bring me. Give me a
black
turtleneck.
Black turtleneck with the earpiece.
Oh my God.
Fake glasses.
I'll Holmes it all the way.
Holmes it all the way.
Let me hear that deep Holmes voice.
So what I think is.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I'm here.
If we can all get behind DMB.
Uh-huh.
Maybe build a couple more.
Yeah.
She's good.
Just one drop of blood, four DMVs.
I like that she made her little blood factory thing look like a little tiny factory. That was a good touch.
Like in that HBO documentary when you saw how much of a disaster it was inside with blood flying everywhere.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
And then people were like, we're dealing with like pathogens and stuff and blood's flying around.
My favorite part was how all these old white guys were like, I don't understand how she got by us. She was so charismatic.
Right. Yeah. I think it's because she didn't blink and she like just sort of was really good at playing this part that people took like the visual information and went, this person is smart.
And she was attractive.
Yeah, good for her. I mean, look, I forget. There are so many people on Twitter who are like tweeting shit like, no woman of color could get away with their
hair
looking a mess like that, though, honey.
Okay, listen. Do you know the meetings I've had when I tried to pull like any amount of rank?
Right.
Zara, you're too tall and you're too loud.
Right.
And nobody likes you.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'9", but everyone thinks that I'm like 6'10", because of my big, loud mouth.
Because your energy and your energy, and you watch those motivational videos.
It's Ray
Lewis.
You
might as well be Ray Lewis coming in the fucking meeting.
Got too much Ray Lewis.
Did you say you had a question for us?
I did.
All right, we'll get
to
it.
Okay, I do.
You remember it?
I remember it. I do.
Okay.
Okay, I've been thinking a lot about gender binary.
Uh-huh.
I've come to a conclusion, a placeholder conclusion that I'm testing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there is a binary. Fart positive, fart shame.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Are you fart shame or fart?
Fart posy, baby.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
You're like a fart high five.
No.
Like my
It's totally context based, isn't it? No.
See, you're my man.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying. Is like, I don't know the other side of it. Maybe there isn't a binary. Is it fluid?
Yeah,
I think
it's
fluid because like.
Yeah. This is so this conversation is wild. Because now we're like really thinking about it. I'm like, well, yeah, because don't be farting or don't just fart up in anywhere.
Yeah.
Pick your shots, because we do. I guess there is some, because it's.
My mom is fart positive. She will always high five a fart.
Really?
That's like my mom too.
Drives me crazy.
My mom, it's so funny. I don't know if
she's listening,
but like, she likes a good fart. Okay, and on both sides of my family, we fart from my maternal grandparents to my paternal grandparents. Farts are like the language. And they're from Japan.
A powerful fart coming from a petite person is very funny.
Based on my little Japanese mom who's like 5'1", and even my grandfather from Chicago, like the farts are the same and the love for farts is the same. And she used to yell at me. My mom, she loves the fart so much that if she feels one, even if she's yelling at me, we'll just rip one.
She's like,
baka mai nani? Yuma nani yuttanda yo? Like she's like in Japanese, being like, what the fuck did you just say to me? Type shit. And then be like, and then we just start laughing, and I keep telling, as a kid, I was like, yo, you just lost all your steam right there because you decided to just fart it up, and now we're all laughing. So
she's like, no.
And then she laughs. No, she laughs too. Because then I'm like, well, then how am I supposed to think you're angry now?
Right,
that was amazing.
I think that's her way of like getting away from being mean mom or something. Right?
Yeah.
But she doesn't fart all the time, but you know.
What about you?
With my mom. I mean, my family was very fart positive.
Okay.
Yeah, like it wasn't celebrated. No high fives, but just also no attempt to shield each other from our farts.
What about for the woman in the family specifically?
Yeah, I think they just let it go.
They just let it go.
Yeah,
because it wasn't a thing where like, no, Jack, we don't poop.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because I meet people like that. I'm like. That's just door weird to open, say out loud.
Door open. Sometimes, I mean, that's pretty standard for a family, right?
Oh yeah. We didn't have a door.
Right.
We had no door, and we had a camera that was live streamed.
Piss party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom was fart positive, high five, even if it was a silent but deadly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She would, like, high five you.
High five you. You wouldn't know why you were getting a high
five. But, like, everyone else.
And then you would just be like,
she's like, buckle up, baby girl.
She'd be like, oh, that's everything inside of you is wrong. Good job. Give me a high five. Give me a high five.
Wow.
And it would make me so mad because I was like all fart shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, you are not fart posy?
I take after my dad. My dad was like, don't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Right. I have friends like that too who don't even want to talk about it.
What
or people who are married and they're like, you don't, he's like, nah, I don't like. Like, we don't like to hear each other fart. I'm like, y'all are married.
Yeah. The gas like the fart. The gas like the gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What fart?
Too many
layers. What are you talking
about? Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Oh, you smell something? That's weird.
You also, like, doctor. Once you have a kid, you get very, like, it's hilarious when your kid starts farting and, like, realizes he's farting and, like.
And is into it.
Oh, that's adorable.
Not like when it's a dog trying to fight his own ass when they fart. Like,
those videos are adorable.
Yeah. But, poop loses a lot of its shame once you have a kid.
Great.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and it's been 25 years since...
It's been
25 years since Kurt Cobain died, is not how the rest of that song goes. Yeah, so I was just trying to think of, like, to kids today, what is Kurt Cobain's death? And I was realizing it's, like, at the very least, like, how, like, Hendrix seemed to me when I was a kid. Like that, it's like that long ago, or like Janis Joplin, or like the Doors, or even right. like JFK. 25 years after JFK's death was 1988.
Right.
So I was like, not.
I was four.
Yeah.
And not giving a fuck.
Right.
And even like, yeah, I guess 20. To me, it's just thinking of, like, you know, me being a 10-year-old when that happened, or what was it, 94? Right. And then thinking of, like, someone's, like, little sibling who was just born that day, and be like, that's a baby.
Right.
And now thinking, who I haven't seen in years, and go, yo, that person's 25 now.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, that's Kurt Cobain's death distance, 25 years. I don't know. All of these things to say that we always have reminders that we are dying.
Dude.
And life is transient.
Oh, yes. My God. Do you guys still wonder,
like,
about
a fart in the
what happened?
Yeah.
I don't know. Aren't there, like, documentaries? I haven't seen, like, much
there's
of the
so
documentaries. Because there's so many that I'm like, I don't know. Did what everyone said, a lot of people say Courtney Love did it.
Yeah.
Or
I
some
don't
shit.
I believe that.
Yeah.
What do you say? What sayest thou, Jack?
Why do you need his opinion? I just gave mine categorically.
you think she did it?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I think.
Oh, because you just went, yep. The way I said, people think she did it. The way you said yes, I thought you said
yeah. No,
and I'm one of those people.
That's like almost the default conclusion online is like, oh yeah, she murdered him. Like, jeez. People just want to believe that shit because it's kind of a more interesting version of reality.
People love to come after women.
But yeah, I mean, they had a very, like, toxic, volatile relationship, but I don't think she, like, ordered a hit on.
Yeah, that's why I'm just like, I'm just not even interested in, like, trying to figure that out. I'm like, if it was a murder, I'd hope the police are figuring that out.
And yeah.
If just, you know, just let his terrible guitar playing live on in eternity.
Dude, there is
People are gonna give me heat for that. I'm telling you, technically, he was not a good guitar player.
Am I wrong?
Am I wrong? Yeah. I just looked at Super Producer Nick's stuff. He just goes, I don't give a shit, dude. But that was his steez, you know what I mean? He was Kurt, you know, that was his vibe. So, yeah. You know, hopefully you're in the...
I still ride for the Unplugged
that performance. Where do bad men go when they die? Don't go to heaven where the angels cry.
Oh, that takes me back.
Yeah. To the 4th of July.
That shit's great.
Anyway,
all right. Annalyn Junior High.
Let's talk about Game of Thrones.
Yes.
It's coming.
It's coming. Are you a fan?
I am.
Okay, cool.
I hate that I'm a fan, but I am.
I think like most people.
I'm a self-loathing fan.
I'm more of the person who, as I say all the time, I just need the sweet release of this ending so I can move on with my life and just know how it ends and figure out where they were taking this the whole time.
So you didn't read the leaked?
No. And I don't have enough, I didn't read the books. I just took it as a show that was on that I would watch. I don't engage much even on like fan boards where people like go to town trying to figure out what's going on.
This reminds me of when people talk about smoking.
What do you mean?
I'm not really a smoker. I just smoke with like friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We've all seen the smoke. PSA.
Right.
You're and a smoker.
Like, social smoking is still smoking. Watching is still watching.
So Game of Thrones, though, is heading into this last season just caking the fuck up. They are like, there's Oreos, as we talked about on the past episode.
Yeah.
Now there's like a secret Game of Thrones Shake Shack menu.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
And it's just... It's a weird look for a like critically acclaimed.
Yeah, they're just going full bro.
Murder, fuck fest type. Like, you know, this is like hard
kid friendly shit.
Yeah,
right.
It's not kid friendly shit. That's right.
Right. And they're like, yeah, don't you want Oreos for your kids to eat on that show about the little boy who caught the brother and sister having sex and was pushed out a window and became a cripple?
Yeah, I was saying earlier,
disabled.
Right. I was saying earlier though, like, think about if like. Heading into the last season of Sopranos, they had like Polly Walnuts Oreos and Christopher Oreos and Walter
Oreo.
White Blue Raspberry Blow Pops heading into the last season of Breaking Bad. It's like, it's just very, they're treating it like it's an action franchise or like something like that.
Or a Disney movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like usually like you see these kind of product integration things for like brands that are broad enough or like, you know, intellectual property that's broad enough that it won't like put people off. But I guess maybe that's probably a testament just to the phenomenon that is the show where everyone is trying to be like hop in on this. Because even this Shake Shack thing is absurd. The write up they did is so just overly elaborate.
What is it?
So first of all, it's only available at the, I think, Madison Square Park location in New York. So look, New York Psyching, there you go. Go get it. But you have to. They said you order in Valerian, okay? So the Dracarys burger, Dracaro Parkliapos, features a double Monterey Jack cheeseburger sourced from the finest head of cattle the Seven Kingdoms has to offer. Griddled by the fires of Drogon and Rhaegal, the burger is then topped with a fiery shack sauce created from herbs and spices sourced from the conquered cities of Yunhai, Meereen, and Astapor.
Cities?
I'm like, yo, you want slave sauce?
Yeah, is there like, why are they talking about conquered cities? And also, like, the food in that universe is like real, like, dirty and like.
Yeah, you just eat like a leg of a horse and some wine.
Thinking about food in the Game of Thrones universe makes me think of two things. One is Dorne, because they were all about their food and shit. And the other is that, like, father and son who starved to death in the...
Oh, right.
You know, like, that's...
Who didn't have enough...
Yeah. Like, other than that, it's just mead and shit.
This is, like, the opposite of, like... Okay, so I have this joke about how, like, you know, liberal white people always like to think about how, like, food trucks solve racism. Right? If we just eat each other's food, then we can get along. This is, like, the exact polar opposite. This is, like, eat food, conquest.
Right. Yes.
Murder, rape, pillage.
Get food from the vanquished.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then, like, just even the shake. It's just a shake, but it's, like... Custard is frozen with packed snow harvested beyond the wall and hand churned by members of the Night's Watch. It's like, no, bro. It's someone being underpaid.
By members of the Night's Watch.
By a starving student who has a, you know, their job trying to make ends meet, not hand churned by the Night's Watch. But hey, you know.
Hey, he's a man of the Night's Watch.
Hey, right.
And then his watch.
What happens to the women who are churning it too? But so then you look at everything
it's even
else.
Like it goes. Like, this started to seem like parody to me. They have Adidas Ultra Boost sneakers, which is just, like, they're trying to jump on the hype beast, like, thing.
Yeah.
Like, and then Mountain Dew, which...
Oh, play the... Okay, we have a clip. This This is what's really absurd. There, it was like celebrity laden. There's Joel Embiid, there's Dale Earnhardt Jr., motherfucking Migos, and they're all singing the Game of Thrones song, but it's just so cringy. It's just like a black backdrop, and people are just like, do, 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 do. And here, this, listen to this clip.
All right, let's hear. Oh.
Okay, you can cut. Takeoff looks so high in this shit too, and they're wearing the most ornate shit. Like, just checked out, getting that check. I mean, look, credit to Migos. Get the fucking, just secure the bag and get the fuck out. And then there's even Johnny Walker.
Oh my risky. God.
Johnny Walker, like, that seems, I guess,
at least for adults.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
While you guys do the rest of the show, just keep talking. I'm just going to be here in the background.
Mountain
Dew.
Mountain Dew.
All right. Well, you know.
I mean, hey.
Do what you got to do.
They got me, you know. I'm addicted. So let's talk tax returns.
Oh.
It's coming up on that time of year.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that. But then also, you know, the mirage in the desert that is, will we ever see those tax returns of the president?
No.
And, you know, like, that was a thing that I think lightened people's spirits on the left when the Democrats took the House in the midterms. We're like, okay, well, maybe we can start getting these tax returns from the IRS. But it's April now, and everybody's like, what the fuck is going on? Because I think people are not satisfied with the William Barr's Mueller report. Mm. So now they're talking tax returns. Mm. But the reason, after like reading a lot of articles about this, there's just like a legal arms race happening between the House Democrats and the White House. Mm. So on one hand, you have the Democrats, where essentially Nancy Pelosi is like bringing in a lot of like legal counsel to be like the House, you know, legal counsel. And these are people who have like proven track records on trying to like prove cases using like a legislative record. Mm. And that's essentially what they're going to do, because they realize it is going to be a massive legal battle, because, you know, Trump obviously doesn't want to share those things. And he's going to, you know, figure out ways to obstruct people's ability or impede people's ability to see the tax returns. So they realize, OK, this is a slow game here. Mm. We're going to have to like enter things into the record. And so we can really, when we have to go to court, we have an actual legal case that says, I don't care what weird argument they're using. This is the facts, Jack, and give us the damn tax returns. So on the Trump side is mounting up another way, because they're basically just packing the IRS with just his cronies. So, for example, there was a, on the New York Times was reporting that he was begging Mitch McConnell to fast track the confirmation of this, of Trump's pick to be the IRS's like head legal counsel, this man named Michael Desmond. And that's weird. I wonder what connection they have. Well, Michael Desmond was a one-time Trump tax lawyer.
Oh my God.
And he was also a colleague of William Nelson and Sherry Dillon, who are Trump's like longtime tax lawyers. And those are the people who, like, after he won the election, he's like, I'm putting my business in a blind trust. And it just had that like vague stack of papers.
Right.
Oh, yeah. In front
of. Oh, right.
Those are the people behind that shit.
Oh,
so their friend is now being the pick to be confirmed as the IRS's chief lawyer, because he's going to be the person to argue against turning over
Releasing the tax returns. Yeah.
And he was basically asking Mitch McConnell to prioritize this even over William Barr's confirmation to be the head of DOJ.
Oh, interesting.
Be AG. So he gets, he's like, oh yeah, that'll be spicy.
What do we think we're going to see in the tax returns? Is it just like his exposure to like maybe like where all that cash was coming from?
Yeah, or like if there's any business dealings that do involve any, you know, Russian entities, other properties he may own that we didn't know he owned. You know, there's just a lot. We're taking his word on everything.
Okay, right. Wait, I have like a...
And also the fraud he's probably committing.
I have a question. Could we like, can you explain this to me in relation to Bill Clinton and his cum stain?
Right, yeah. So it all goes back to one day in the 90s.
Like, is this really that hard? I mean, we impeached a man over a cum stain on a Gap dress.
Yeah.
I feel like we could do a tax return.
But not before turning that investigation into a 400-page bestseller.
Right.
Number one New York Times bestseller, like, the day after it was turned in.
But I mean, if that is that what we need? Let's fast-track this shit. Like, let's just do this. Let's get
reverse engineer it. Yeah, well, and even then, because it's not just this lawyer. The commissioner of the IRS is also a Trump crony. And, like, before he got his gig, wrote a column at Forbes being like, Trump shouldn't release his taxes. of course, cut right. to you being the commissioner of the IRS. So, you know, you have people who are like finding every weird whack legal argument to just stall it to take it to court because the IRS really doesn't have a good legal argument against it aside from one they're going to have to concoct and then argue in court, which is why Democrats are trying to get ahead of it and be like, okay, well, let's try and
You know what? This is a classic. Like, we are now in season 6 of Frasier and season 7 of Friends.
Right. What's that? What happened?
Will Ross and Rachel get together? Will Daphne and Niles finally get together?
Yeah.
Will they fight? Will Daphne find out? Will Trump and his tax returns ever be exposed? It's like it's another romantic love plot subplot.
And hopefully Marcel the monkey from Outbreak will also make a cameo. He did. I feel like an episode of Friends. I was very confused as a kid.
Yes.
I know there's another, you know, track that people are saying, you know, we could go this direction too, which is, you know, Trump has always said, well, I can't release the tax returns. I'm under audit. So, and like the lawyers who did this big cool stack of papers show at the beginning of 2017, they were also like, it's been like in a perpetual state of audit for like the last 10 years or
exactly.
something. So they're saying like, why don't we just pull up to the IRS and say, is it under audit? And then maybe just remove that defense first. And maybe get somebody on wax at the IRS to determine that.
There's like a lot of ways to make this move forward.
Yeah. And I think, I'm sure they're all thinking of it. So it's just like the most boring fucking chess game of all time.
Yeah. I mean, welcome to a government infrastructure that looks like Iran's.
Yeah. And it, like last time you were here, a lot of destabilization.
That's what I'm saying. It's Ahmadinejad got a second term. A lot of people didn't remember voting for him, but that happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know. I'm on the... The like, you know, will he get reelected is like, probably.
Yeah.
Because I know how the storyline goes.
Right. I think I've seen this pattern before.
Although stock market was polled. The people who run the stock market or, you know, investors were polled and are saying that they are gambling. 70% of them are gambling that he is going to be reelected.
What do you mean that he's gambling? Like they're putting money
they're
down.
They're putting money down. Yeah.
This is like,
wait, really?
Yes.
No, not on Vegas. Like just in terms of how they structure their investments.
Right.
There is like what you just said, the way that they structure their investments, like this should be illegal. You should not be allowed to short sell on your country.
Right. Which is essentially what anybody who's making money off of the presidency is doing.
Right.
And Joseph Biden, real briefly said, sorry that you felt that way.
Right.
I'm not sorry for anything ever.
Yeah. He had like a public speaking thing and he kind of made a joke about it up there. And then afterwards, he, for the first time, faced journalists being like, hi, we have a question about these people saying you are touchy in the wrong fucking way. Oh, have you not heard about this?
I've been under a rock.
Okay, good. Let me get you up to speed.
Tell me.
So a lot of people in the last week, or about 3 or 4 people have come out to talk about their experiences with Joe Biden. Just, you know, he's just a touchy dude. He's like, he was like, you know, hugging women from the back and like whispering in their ear.
And
people
are
like, it's just weird. You know, like, and a lot of them were like, just to be clear, I'm not saying he assaulted me in any way, but I was made uncomfortable by his invasion of my personal space.
Mm-mm.
So he's been dealing with this like quote unquote scandal, but basically being people asking, hi, Joe, you know, there's many photos of you sort of looking like you don't give a fuck about people's personal space. Do you care to comment on that? And first he was just like, you know, I realize social norms are changing and I will do better was the first thing. But people were like, why don't you say you're sorry?
I hate like, apologies.
Can you articulate that rather than just sort of defending yourself by being like, hey, time's changing, man. The times are wrong, not me. And then so he had this moment afterwards because a lot of people, like his critics and people who are even on the Democratic strategy side are saying like, he should just like be like, yeah, look, I'm sorry I'm invading people's space. I won't do it anymore. But he's been doing everything except that. So this is him answering a question about that.
Do you think you owe these women a direct apology who have come forward so far?
Oh, well, look, the fact of the matter is I made it clear that if I made anyone feel comfortable, I feel badly about that. That was never my intention, ever. Ever.
But there's some women who want to hear directly, I am sorry. Are you sorry for the way that you made these women feel?
I'm sorry I didn't understand more. I'm not sorry for any of my intentions. I'm not sorry for anything that I have ever done. I've never been disrespectful intentionally to a man or a woman. That's not the reputation I had since I was in high school, for God's sake.
So that's not the reputation I've had since I was in high school. Anyways, also at a speech on Friday, I believe, he hugged the guy, Lonnie Stevenson, who was introducing him. And then his opening line, or one of his early in the speech, he said, "I just want you to know, I had permission to hug Lonnie." And the line drew applause and laughter from the crowd. Moving on, right? Later, during another point during his speech, when there were children on stage, he put his arm around a young boy and said, "By the way, he gave me permission to touch him."
Oh, boy.
So it's like he's overdoing it.
Yeah.
You know what?
To make a point that people are like too
touchy,
demanding.
Feely.
You know what? You know what? You know what? I'm going to inhabit the throne and make a declarative statement as patriarch in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with apologies.
Okay.
I'm done with apologies. I wish the left, the progressive, the intersectional body, on behalf of the intersectional body, let's stop asking for apologies. It's such a red herring, and it skews the conversation. And all of a sudden, the conversation becomes about these like minor missteps and intent instead of establishing new norms.
Right.
And like, it sucks to hear this because I feel like, and given I've been under a rock, it sucks to hear all this like play out because I feel like I hear him saying, you know, there are new norms, and I want us to like jump on that and be like, yes, there are. Here's how it goes, and here's what we do now.
Right. And just being so focused on an apology.
Exactly. And instead, because everyone's giving pity face and being like, but are you going to say sorry, though?
Yeah, then that one journalist.
that of course sets him up. Like, as a PR person, I'm like, yes, you are setting up a messaging route that is going to be like, so then now he's always going to check in to make sure it's okay. And does he need to make an apology? And is that what we're about? No, we're about action. It's supposed to move this way. But are we typified and stereotyped as snowflakes that care all about feelings?
Right.
And being patronizing, which I have like an acute ear for as a woman, like that's the direction it's taking. It's sort of like we're eating the crap bait that they're handing us.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. That like the follow up there would have been like, okay, describe what those new norms are.
Exactly.
And how, what are you gonna do? What can other men like you who might not have been familiar with them, what can you do to like, what are some guidelines that you can follow? Let's define this. But right. Instead, it becomes.
Because the argument's like, well, I've been doing this for years.
Right.
I think the argument I'm making is like what you're saying about how it's less about him and more about like, what's our goal here?
Right.
In terms of movement,
if we're making this a moment for people to be focused on.
Yeah. What are we focusing on? Yeah.
Well, and he did say that in his video thing about saying like, and I realize that that's not cool, and I'll be very careful to not be considerate of people's personal space going forward or whatever. So, I mean, he articulated that, but I think it's when he gets defensive about it, then you almost feel like, but are you really like embracing like what you're saying in that sense?
I mean, I imagine he has to be careful to sound like I don't want to turn into an apologist, but like, I wonder how much he has to be cautious as a public figure, as a person on committees who also has to be aware of what he opens himself up to in terms of a legal battle.
Right.
And it like, you know, we can't assume that there are all good people, you know, like people will, like that's tricky. That's careful space that has to be, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Wait, what do you mean? What did you mean by in terms of like legality?
There's a language
mm-hmm.
that if he opens himself up to, then isn't that then
slippery
slope?
Because like, he's articulated some kind of apology that could be construed as an admission of guilt.
Exactly.
Or something.
And then people who are not cool could jump in on that and then create a real problem.
Right. Well, I think, again, no one has actually ever accused him of anything criminal.
Oh, I see.
So that's where it's like, yeah. And I think most people saw like even what he was doing is like, you're just doing that shit where you don't get that like motherfuckers don't want it to be fucking, you know, touched, rub noses and shit.
Yeah. Got it.
And do stuff like that. And like, and that's like all, like not a single person said it was assault or anyway. They're just like, yeah, he's got a problem with personal space. There was a journalist at the Washington Post like, yeah, he fucking grabbed me by the shoulders and like put his face up against mine. And is like, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I kind of dig that. I dig that conversation. I dig the conversation that's like, hey, Biden, you're a close talker. It's really obnoxious.
Right. And that's what it's turning into. And I think, but then it's starting to play out of sort of like, well, what's wrong with close talking?
Right. You know, everything.
Like, yeah. And it's like, that's why.
That stuff is so hard to articulate to men without like it getting super awkward.
Right. And I think for him, if he apologizes in his mind or something, he's admitting to doing something far worse.
Probably the thing that I was worried about.
Right.
Right.
But
I mean, I don't know. I don't
care.
Can
you give an example? Like when you say that sort of thing is so hard to articulate to men, like what do you mean by that?
Well, okay. So really for example, point. For example, there was a guy that I used to interview with. And like his favorite thing was to like greet me, take my hand, kiss me on both cheeks.
Okay.
And put his arm around my shoulder and pull me in. And I hated it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But like he was clearly making an attempt to like, you know, work with whatever insecurity that he has around like social, like being social with a woman and come over here. And these things were making him feel powerful somehow.
Yeah.
So that he was like a peer with me.
Yeah.
And like, but I didn't like any of it. But the easier thing to do is to just like smile and be like, yeah, okay, and we'll sit down. You know, it's much harder to be like, don't kiss me on the cheek, man. Because then like you have a whole big conversation that's like, well, what do you mean? I didn't mean anything by it. You know, and it like immediately escalates.
Yeah.
Rather than, yeah.
So then at least when, you know, you have like a Biden conversation like this, you can de-escalate it somehow and be like, look, it's just one of those kinds of moments where it's like you're being a close talker right now. I don't love it so much. It's like, you know, I don't like that a lot. I don't like that a whole lot. Like, and it's like it's so difficult to articulate because it's, you know, Amy Schumer made that joke about grape, right? Like there's that gray area. That there's like different microaggressive versions of sexual assault, as there are, you know, like, and how do you have those conversations without it escalating into like super awkwardness?
Right.
Because, and then take care of the women who are actually articulating them, because the whole reason why we put up with them is to not have those conversations so we can remain a peer.
Right. Shit.
Yeah. Well, I think, because again, even like Joe, like the defensiveness is like, I think I'm being accused of something like way worse than what it is, when it's not just sort of being seen as just a practical matter of personal space. That like people are sort of, I don't know, it seems the way the response has been from even the people who defend him, they act like he's being accused of something much greater than what it is.
Right.
And even then there's no nuance in their mind about like what a discussion of personal space is.
Yeah.
It's like is it a violation of personal space or is this some just terrible transgression?
Mm.
Right.
And I think people aren't able to sort of parse through that, or at least his defenders aren't, because they really are going to bat for him like he's been accused of like being a serial molester or something like that.
How do you guys navigate that kind of space?
I mean, as I move more in my like professional life, I read whatever the person is giving me.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone comes up to me that I'm meeting for the first time, if they open their arms for like to like they're a hugger or something, then
you
fine.
Dive onto the ground.
Then I'll do that.
No.
I start coughing uncontrollably. Yeah. But usually I just offer a hand, like a handshake, because I just keep it like that. And I'm also personally like, I don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable. And I also don't have like a desire to just be hugging people all the time either. So I'm fine. I'm just like, hey, good. But I'm also very open to, you know, hearing anything about like, you know, my own privilege as a man or whatever, understanding like, oh yeah, I also know. Being a man, you don't hear shit like that a lot of time for the precise reason you're talking about it, because people would rather not have that discussion. But I try and be as open as possible because I don't want to be the type of dude who someone can bring that up to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no need for me to be defensive because at a base level, I'm like, yo, there's always shit to learn. There's always shit I'm not perceiving. There's always shit I haven't learned. I'm here to learn.
And I don't know what to do with my hands when I'm not interacting with people. So I'm not going to fuck with trying to do shit with my hands.
Yeah, people
when
see
I
you,
do.
They're like, okay. Thank you.
Thank
a lot
you.
Of sweat.
Sir?
Sir?
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and Old Town Road is the greatest work of American art of the last decade. End of story.
Yeah, you.
Moving on.
When I came in this.
Yeah, the song is fucking, gets under my skin, man.
Now that you've had little time to sit with it.
Yeah.
You gotta.
And even the remix works for me.
Well, the remix is really, hearing Billy Ray Cyrus, his haunting old voice, it for a second sounds like. Oh, let's just give a little taste of this one.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I'm
gonna take my horse through the old town.
Where'd you get that cowboy hat from?
That's right.
Ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. Man,
when that drops. Woo!
Okay, so Zara, I don't know if you're in your under rockness that you were, you may not have heard about Lil Nas X, who's a rapper whose original song was him singing that part. And it was like a country trap song that blew up. It got on the country Billboard charts, and then Billboard pulled it because it was quote unquote not country enough.
Ew.
And everyone was like, what the fuck are y'all trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know what you're trying to say, but like, what the fuck? And a lot of people came out to defend it. And then Billy Ray Cyrus was like, you know what, man? Let's do a remix.
Yeah.
And have Billboard tell us that this shit ain't country now. And that was like the remix. And like, yeah, there's something, there's an elevation there, I think, with hearing
it's
Billy Ray.
It's just so basic, but it like, Billy Ray Cyrus is a genius of basicness.
Yeah.
it just, like, he's the perfect person to match with just this stripped down to its bare roots. Silly.
It's going to be funny. I hope it's like just a torch song that people are just going to be like, if you're like in a, you know, like leaving a concert and someone just starts singing it, everyone just hops in. Like,
yeah.
Hey Jude.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my horse to the old town.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man. Start crying and shit. Bus full of people.
Hell
but yeah.
Man.
Anyway, so
I
check out the remix.
That. babies are going to be conceived to that song. It's going to be wedding people's wedding songs.
25 years from now, you're going to be interviewing a prospective new employee who would be like, well, what's your name, son? Right. Lil Nas X. Okay.
Hey, just listen to know it. I'm pregnant.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, it's a convergence of, you know, obviously trap and country, but then you've got like the Yeehaw agenda and black fashion. I guess Lil Nas X was just before this, had like a meme account that was, you know, very popular and then got banned, and it's just very, I don't know, it's got a lot of shit.
Kid read the zeitgeist, you know what I mean?
This dude is, you gotta respect what he's doing. Let's talk about Aunt Becky.
Real quickly, okay, so Aunt Becky, the...
Aunt Becky, which, by the way, I was listening to Las Culturistas, and someone said, you know, he had never watched Full House, and he thought Aunt Becky was just a mean name we were calling this white lady, like just calling her
Aunt Becky over here.
Got Aunt Becky.
Anyway, so the daughter of Aunt Becky and Massimo, the most 90s shit ever, Olivia Jade, who was caught up in this mess because she went to USC because they said she was doing crew. Anyway, she was kicked out. She was an Instagram influencer, like beauty influencer, and she like lost her like Sephora deal and all these other things for, you know, committing fraud or her parents. And now in Us Magazine is reporting that Olivia just blames her fucking parents for it. And she's so messed up. It says, quote, Olivia was passionate about her career. Now everything she built has imploded before her eyes. She feels they ruined everything. She's not talking to her parents right now. And she feels she is the victim. Olivia blames her mom and dad for this scandal and for the downfall of her career.
Right.
You know what? Luckily, you are in a class of human beings where you don't need a college degree to survive.
Right.
So, you know, maybe we can figure something else out for you to do.
Yeah, but don't tear your family down.
Don't tear. But I mean, who's to know? I have a feeling she knew, because based on all these reports about this investigation, most of the kids did know.
But I do feel like just based on her social media presence, every step of this was extremely reluctant. Mm-hmm. And like the documents where you have, I think it was Aunt Becky like emailing USC being like, we're just having trouble like getting the photos. Application form done.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was just like she was not about that academic life.
Damn.
Where is she in the sibling lineup?
What's your theory on that?
The oldest kid. I'm an oldest kid.
Mm-hmm.
We are like, give me the handout. Let's go. Let's do this. What do you got?
Right.
And then the ones that come after you are like, you know, I can do this myself. I don't care about, I'm the second kid, but doesn't matter. I can fight like a first kid. I don't need help. I don't need handouts. Because she's saying like,
she's
only
19.
Why did you give me handouts? I could have done it on my own.
Right.
Type thing.
But I think hers is like, if you guys didn't fucking just break the rules, I could still have my influencer deals. Is really what it was. What how I translate that quote is like, I don't have a Sephora deal, mom, cuz of you. Like, and then I hear a door slam. So,
you know what? Learn from Kylie.
Yeah,
that's
self-made.
Right. Self-made.
Self-made and self-paid. And also very quickly, Beyonce, she signed with Adidas. I'm sure everybody heard, but there was just an anecdote according to Nick DiPaola, who is like a shoe guy now working for ESPN. He had the tea because Beyonce was being courted by, I think, Under Armour, everybody, even Jordan. And she ultimately landed it with Adidas. Okay, good for y'all. But she really had a problem with Reebok. Okay, so quote, she had a meeting at Reebok and they had a whole presentation of everything, potential products, how this could all look. And she kind of took a step back and said, is this the team that will be working on my product? Mm-hmm. Somebody said yes. And she said, nobody in this room reflects my background, my skin color, and where I'm from and what I want to do. So she took a step back and left it there and did not come to terms.
Wow.
Bay.
Damn. Yo, use your motherfucking power, B.
Bay, my bay.
Yep.
Zara, it's been a pleasure having you.
Wow, it took you.
Yeah.
It's been really lovely being here.
Just letting it breathe.
It's a transformative episode.
Where can people find you?
ZaraComedian.com. ZaraComedian.com.
Not the clothing store.
Yeah, not
that's Z-A-R-A.
With the H.
Not
with
fast fashion.
H. And minus the slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
Child slave
your
labor.
Comedy doesn't utilize any slave labor. You can say that. No children.
100%.
Am I apologizing?
Gotcha question.
That's a weird framing.
Can you actually promise us your comedy uses no child slave labor?
Wait a minute. Oh, no, actually, you know what? I've been doing comedy since I was protecting my mom from hate crimes as a kid.
Damn.
What? Bam. So bring it to
bang,
me.
Bang. Yeah, let him know.
And that's
Wookie.
My dog,
that's
Wookie.
Your dog just being like, yeah, what?
I'm in Zara. I'm out.
What? Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And also, yo, Zeitgang, if you're playing the Division 2, I just started a clan. Just search Zeitgang. We are here. I'm only like level 15, so you're going to have to carry me. And a tweet that I like is from Yodoya Travis, who's a comedian in New York. And having to do... No, this is good. This is all part of the energy of the show.
Yeah.
And having to do with Kurt Cobain's death, he tweeted, damn, Kurt Cobain never saw Lion King.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Lion King.
Lion King came out in June of 94. Yeah.
Fuck me up, man. Damn. Tweet I've been enjoying. Chris Black tweeted, Lena Dunham got the word sick tattooed on the back of her neck like she is a wakeboarder from Arizona. And then Joseph K. Bitten Tongue tweeted, how many different Joker movies are they making? Because it's real edgelord shit. And then Billboard tweeted, stream at Lil Nas X and at Billy Ray Cyrus new remix of Old Town Road on Billboard. And Marsha Belsky tweeted, when the girl who bullied you in high school comments, congrats, and three hearts. You can follow me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
I think they're going to let you one song, and that's the Old Town Road remix.
Yeah!
Lil Nas X featuring Miley Ray Cyrus's dad.
Music legend, Miley Ray Cyrus's dad. All right, we are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you guys then. Bye.
Hat down, cross town, living like a rock star. Spend a lot of money on my brand new guitar. Baby's got a habit, diamond rings and Fendi sports bras. Riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports car. Got no stress, I've been through all that. I'm like a Marlboro man, so I kick on back. Wish I could roll on back to that old town road. I wanna ride till I can't no more.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeitgang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.